Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Brihat Bhagavatamrita, from the second part. There's two parts, and this is chapter 5, text 223. Yaya vachahaya dhainyam matya cha staryam etitat tam yat nena bhajet vidvans tad virudhani varjayet ya ya vache haya dhainyam matya cha staryam etitat tam yatena bhajet vidvans tad virudhani varjayet. Yaya, by which vacha, language, ihaya, and behavior, enyam, utter humility, matya, by which mode of thinking, cha, and stayam, firmness, eti, attains, tat, it, tam, that, yat nena, with endeavor, bhajet, should cultivate, vidvan, an intelligent person, tat, to that, virudhani, obstacles, varjayet, he should avoid. Translation, an intelligent person, that's all of you, an intelligent person should carefully cultivate speech, behavior, and thinking that fix him in utter humility, and anything that stands in the way of it, he should avoid. And there's no purport. The Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, the translator, has taken this word dainya, which means humility, and has translated it as utter humility, and there's the reason for that is the context. There's humility and then there's utter humility. So that's our topic, humility and utter humility. There's somebody in the audience, it's one of their favorite verses. So, the section, which is chapter 5, is love of God. And this is a verse spoken by Narada to Gopakumar. And Gopakumar is a cowherd boy. He's a gopa. And his name is Kumar. And he was born in a cowherd family in Vrindavan. And along with the other boys, they would go out each day and herd the cows. And as time passed, they saw this Brahmin who regularly, as they would take care of the cows, he would again see him and again see him and again see him, and he became very attracted to this Brahmana. So Gopa Kumar sought his association, and in course of time he requested initiation from this Brahmana. The Brahmana obliged him, go take your bath in the river Jamuna, I'll give you this mantra. And just giving the mantra was such a condition of overwhelming ecstasy for this Brahmana, who didn't even know the name. He just received the mantra, and surprisingly, the Brahmana just like disappeared. So here he is with this mantra and not knowing anything, not knowing its meaning, not knowing should he chant it aloud or softly, on occasion, all the time. Just, he had faith in the person who gave the mantra and therefore also faith in the mantra. And it's the Madan Gopal mantra, same as Madan Mohan, Madan Gopal. By the way, Sanatan Goswami is the author of this, and his deity was Madan Mohan, so Madan Gopal mantra. And so Gopa Kumar just chanted his mantra, and progressively the mantra took him to this situation, that situation, other situation, and gradually, eventually, at the end of, you know, this much of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he ended up in Goloka Vrindavan. And lots of things before that. And this it's progressive realization and, you know, experiences that go along with that realization, where in our case, by the kindness of our founder Acharya, we know the meanings of the mantras and the goal of the mantra chanting and how we're to chant and so forth. But Gopa Kumar didn't know any of those things, and gradually they became revealed to him. Periodically, from time to time, he would again meet his spiritual master and so forth. So this is the progressive stages of realization up to, this is now I'm discussing prema. Prema bhakti. And that's the topic of the chapter. Profound humility is the humility that's the foundation for prema bhakti. And, you know, before prema bhakti, there's other kinds of humility, and then there's this profound humility. So the discussion just prior to this, it's in relation to Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, where Gopa Kumar is receiving instructions from Narada about worshipping Lord Jagannath. Because the deity of his mantra is Madan Gopal, and Madan Gopal resides in Goloka. And Goloka has, as part of Goloka, Dwarka. But in Dwarka, the mood of Krishna in Dwarka towards the residents of Vrindavan is Krishna is feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan, which comes in part one of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And Narada's instructing him, you can just worship Jagannath because he's very kind. According to your mood of love for him, he will exhibit that feature to you. So you really don't have to go any further. You just worship Lord Jagannath. But of course, if you feel, well, I want Madan Gopal, then stay here for a while and worship Lord Jagannath and prepare yourself to go to Goloka, basically. And then he describes the quality of bhakti necessary to enter Goloka or to come before Madan Gopal. So, describing that kind of love or Braja Prem, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gortushe Namaha. He came to give that which no other incarnation of Lord has ever even offered before. And specifically, it's this Braja Prem. The gift, we were speaking yesterday evening, this is coordinated, by the way. Yesterday's evening was feeling gratitude for the gift that we have received. And one who feels gratitude, that's the seed of love. But we don't know what it is that we've received, or just are like children, we just take and take and take, and we don't feel any sense of gratitude because we don't really know what we've received, and we're not receiving from the heart, then we're not going to even recognize what we've received, what to speak of, feel gratitude. So the gift of Lord Chaitanya is the gift of Braja Prem. And that's what's being described in this little section of chapter 5. I'll just read the previous few verses. This is text 218. One develops that love, that Braja Prem, that kind of love that can bring Gopal Kumar before Madan Gopal through the chanting of his mantra. One develops that love by practicing the devotional service, whose main ways are meditation on and singing about the many Braja pastimes of the Lord. That service becomes brilliant by Sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names. Sounds like what Lord Chaitanya gave, right? Congregational chanting, along with the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, specifically the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the personality of Godhead, in that mood of Braja Prem. That loving devotional service is far different from the disciplines such as karma, jnana, and yoga. Right? Rupa Goswami's teachings. Anyabhilashanta shunyam jnana karma jnanavratam. At every stage, it is decorated by indifference to them, and its root is dainya, utter humility. Its root is dainya, utter humility. And within the commentary here, bhakti yoga, in all its phases of practice and achievement, in this life and the next, is always decorated with the ornament of difference. Again, this is coordinated. If you remember from yesterday, the verse from The seventh canto, chapter 9, Prahlad, offering prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. The first part was, detachment, recognizing the pitiable condition due to worldly association or association with material desires or both, that he was likening himself to a person falling into a dark well filled with snakes, like detachment from, and all those other things that we discussed yesterday evening. The allurements that most people, when they approach God, they want this, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare, the song. So, not our Nrsinga prayers, but that other one. From India, you all know that one, or the other one. So, I don't want those things. I don't want those things. You want to give me a benediction? Please. I don't want those things. I saw Hiranyakashipu. He was at the pinnacle of having those things. In a flash, it was taken from him. And he was suffering miserably when he had them. It was all taken away from him in a flash. So, again, this sentence. Bhakti yoga in all its phases of practice and achievement, sadhana and sadhya, the means and the attainment of the means, in this life and the next, is always decorated with the ornament of indifference to material desires. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. This holds true whether bhakti is performed internally with a body or with one's physical body and senses and the body's external possessions. When one allows secondary means and goals, that's this karma gyan in yoga, to become prominent, one deviates from bhakti. It becomes more than mixed. It becomes prominent. I want fill in the blank. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Bhakti disappears, or one deviates from bhakti, at least. The most essential support, and a candidate for pure bhakti must always take help from it, is utter humility. So this is the humility of prema bhakti. And there's, humility in prior stages. We'll hear in just a moment. But for the moment, the focus is going on the utter humility message. So below, next verse, 222. Wise men define dānya, humility, as the state in which one always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable. Anybody ever have that thought? I know some people that have that thought. Exceptionally incapable. And low. Even when endowed with all excellences. Commentary. Narada's own definition of dānya distinguishes his use of the word from other possible meanings, such as, for example, poverty, or becoming selfless by not accepting charity, and being free from egoism. So this is this utter humility, aside from those that are more the conventional sense of humility. Someone might say that the quality of thinking oneself very fallen may also be seen in persons who are simply lazy, or those who abandon auspicious work, or indulge in sinful acts. Therefore, Narada specifies that one who actually has dānya is endowed with all good qualities. For instance, such a person observes positive and negative, regulations, is free of false ego, and he has a healthy fear of material life. Furthermore, though Narada doesn't say so, transcendental dainya is a state of extreme agitation that can lead one to tears and other ecstatic outbursts. Then this one, an intelligent person should carefully cultivate speech, behavior, and thinking that fix him in utter humility, and anything that stands in the way of it he should avoid. Anukalyasya sankalpa, pratikalyasya varjanam. And it's not like it just chant Hare Krishna Prabhu and humility is going to descend out of the sky and it's going to happen. Rather, bhajet tam yat nena bhajet vidvangs. The vidvangs, the intelligent person, bhajet, should cultivate. Question, do we need to cultivate the qualities of a devotee, or will the qualities of a devotee just become the decorations of that devotee? And one can speak both ways. Prabhupada speaks one of those two ways in Bhagavad Gita. Just bhakti, but a subset of bhakti. That is, what's bhakti? We were discussing yesterday evening. It's a condition of heart, you know, or the soul itself is meant, my existence, you know, not the covering, but my existence. Why living entities? Why do we exist? For the pleasure of Krishna. That's all. And my heart's desire is to be pleasing to Krishna. And the chanting of the holy name awakens that dormant desire, because it's dormant because it's covered by all these other desires. You know, I want fill in the blank. Om Jagadisha Hare. Or bhakti disappears or is diminished. So bhakti is just this one thing. As we heard Narada say, just this one thing. What's that? Please keep me engaged in your service. Please take away all other desires. Of course, he was already free from all the desires, but he didn't stop asking. Please take away all other desires. Because the tendency is for them to come back again. Unless it's from the heart, we just do with our mind and say, oh, I'll get rid of this desire, that desire. But the contamination, the force of Maya is so strong, we find ourselves once again in that position. A very thorough cleaning. Just like, do a double take, and there it is again. The section of third canto Bhagavatam that I've been reading is Kapila Dev's discussions with Devahuti of how to become free from attachment. In her case, you know, the attachment to family life, but attachment. So he describes a lengthy process, and that lengthy process of understanding categories of matter, categories of spirit, we belong to the category of spirit, and then with that category of spirit understanding, cultivate bhakti. Then he goes on and says, you know, even with that, we find ourselves back again. And Devahuti says, help, you know, how do you overcome this back again thing? And ultimately it's mercy. So we'll come to that again. Overcoming Maya is not a singular event. Once upon a time, I fell into Maya, and then I overcame Maya. Not like that. Not like that. It's by bhakti alone. And when Krishna sees that bhakti proportionate to one's purification that comes from sustained tivra bhakti, Krishna sees that and proportionate to, he removes that influence of maya. Proportionate to. So, next verse in 2:24, Dainya, at its most exalted, comes forth when prema, pure love of God, reaches full maturity, as it did for the women of Gokula when they were separated from Krishna. Dainya. I mean, they were feeling other things, but utter humility. Commentary. Ordinary dainya can be developed by human effort. You know, the previous verse. But there is also a type of dainya beyond the mundane that comes from receiving the Supreme Lord's favor. The word tu in this verse, tu, contrast these distinct kinds of dainya. Almost everyone in the material world is separated from Krishna. But most people never experience dainya because they have no prema. Therefore, they can never become free from suffering and attain true happiness. To achieve transcendental dainya, one must learn to love Krishna in the mood felt by the gopis, led by Sri Radha, when Krishna left them to go to Mathura. We can understand from the example of the gopis, viraha bhav, their feelings of love and separation, that this special dainya arises only when, by Sri Krishna's exceptional mercy, a devotee who has realized Krishna's sweetness develops extraordinary prema in his heart in the mood of separation. As prema appears in degrees of excellence, so does dainya. So we're, you know, commonly, we're not so much commonly hearing about this, you know, the dainya feature of the gopis. Elsewhere in this Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Narada is speaking about the experience of separation of the residents of Vrindavan when Krishna leaves Vrindavan to go to Mathura. And he says it's so unbearable that normally we don't speak these things because the pain is too much. And especially when people that have a material conception of life hear these things, they run the other way. No, no, I don't want that. But once he starts speaking about it, he can't stop speaking about it because it's the highest kind of happiness that looks like the greatest kind of misery. So worldly people can't understand how that humility and the feelings of separation from Krishna is the greatest kind of happiness. It looks awful. And even he doesn't want to talk about it, although he understands it. But to speak of people that don't understand it. So it's profound. So let's go back to something that's less profound and then we'll come back again to the profound. We're accustomed to hearing about humility in relation to the chanting of the holy name. Yes? Trinadapi Sunichena. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the first two verses of Shikshastakam is describing the seven wonders of the holy name, that first verse, and then the mercy of Krishna that's available. He has millions of names, and each one of those names, he's invested all of his transcendental potency, And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. But I have no attraction. What's wrong with me? Well, one's lacking humility, for starters. So what's that lacking of humility? Well, you know, I like my material situation. I want to take my material the expectation of happiness from my material situation into the realm of devotion to Krishna. I want to take my dirty laundry with me to the Goloka. I'm sorry, you have to leave your dirty laundry outside, and your shoes too. Well, I'm attached. Maybe I can sneak it in. Maybe no one will be watching or something. I mean, just we're attached. As, again, it's the same message as Kapila speaking to Devahuti with the discussion yesterday evening about the sine curve. You know, with our process of reasoning and knowledge, our faculty of discernment, we can understand this is good. I should do this. We, you know, start down the path of cultivating this. And the next thing we know, we're distracted. Isn't it? And then we go, oh, I got distracted, so let me try again. And it happens again and again and again and again. So, there's different types of humility. You know, one type of humility is we recognize that whatever faculties I have or something, whatever endowments Krishna has given me, I use those things, but inside there's no real devotion, thought or feeling. We all have, I mean, any little bit at least, or a lot. Or sometimes like overwhelming. And that, you know, there's a feeling of humility when that arises. You know, and the tendency is to like, you know, tuck it under the rug and move on. I don't like that feeling, so I just keep, you know, doing the thing that I was doing before. Whatever it is, whatever intelligence, ability, strength, singing, dancing, organizing, doing, instead of attending to the essence, we do the external without the essence. And then, you know, the sine curve keeps going, making reference to discussion yesterday evening. Or there's another one. Maybe I, you know, here's a real common one. I started the process of devotional service, and, you know, sooner or later, sometimes it's later, I started getting this realization. My goodness, look inside there and see all that impure thing. And then you keep looking at an impure thing, and it's not just a little bit. It's a big impure thing. I didn't even know it was there. And then it just it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's more of like a, you know, not just, you know, a little bump, but a mountain and a whole mountain range of stuff in there. You know that feeling? There's that kind of humility. Now, humility, in the spiritual conception of humility, it's an impetus. But sometimes there's another type of humility when we go into lamentation. You know, the mode of ignorance kind. Where it's like Superman and Kryptonite. We just get weaker and weaker. Oh. Mode of ignorance. That's not humility. That's ignorance. Then there's another type. Just see how humble I am. Whether I advertise it or I don't advertise it, I feel good about myself because I've become a little humble. There's another type of false humility. Supposing we don't succumb to the mode of ignorance kind or the false ego kind, but we stay with it. We don't tuck it under the rug, we stay with it. There are these terms, I'm sure you're familiar with them, at least have heard them, Avaranatmika Shakti, and I always get the pronunciation wrong, so I wrote it down, Prakshepatmika Shakti. So here's the distinction between the two of them. These are two divisions of the potency of Maya. What are they? Prapekshatmaka Shakti is the throwing potency. You know, the living entity is thrown into the material energy. And then once in the material energy, the covering potency. So here's the distinction, or one way the distinction. The potency of diversion is a language that he has in his talks with Sanatan Goswami, or about Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami is proposing to the jailkeeper, one who delivers another from suffering, the person who is delivered is benefited, and the person who is the deliverer is benefited. So Prabhupada comments that that's the throwing potency. And so diversion, it's like, you know, our real identity and diversion from our real identity. And with that diversion from the real identity, it simply impels one to stay in the material condition. That's the description that Kapila Dev is discussing with Devahuti. The other is, then I accept another conception of who I am instead of who I am. We say upadis, you know, our designations, and whatever those are. There's a whole variety. It's who we aren't. We accept who we aren't to be who we are. And with that, we accept misery to be happiness. And you know, think it's nice. Although we know it's suffering, we just keep going. Thinking it's nice, or if I just simply adjust, it's going to be nice. And just, you know, the donkey program, just keep going on and going on and going on, very stubbornly going on. Even though it's misery, we try to make it happiness. So the transcendental knowledge part is that which can, like what Kapila Dev was teaching to Devahuti, or what Prahlad is speaking, we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we can be relieved of that misconception. That's the Avaranatmika Shakti. But then still there's this other diversion. You know, when we sit down to chant japa, and instead of paying attention to the holy name, we're distracted by, you know, something. That's this other potency. And with that other potency, then, you know, stubbornly we continue to try to be the enjoyer of what we're not. Or, you know, forgetting who we really are. So there's transcendental knowledge that can relieve us, the potency is there, to relieve us of a misconception. But then to adopt the proper conception, we're stubbornly involved in this other, you know, the essence of forgetfulness of who we really are. And stay in that position, and really soon we're going to go back to, you know, some other contemplation, the diversion from who we really are position. and do it again and again and again and again and again. So another, that leads to another kind of humility. Like crying. feeling very discouraged. Sometimes there's that kind of humility. That's exactly what Devahuti says to Lord Kapiladeva. She says, that the Lord's energy is inseparable from Him. Although they appear to be two things, it's one thing. It's Him and His energy. Or it's in the case of Kapila, it's you and your energy. So one may have the discrimination, I belong to this category, not to that category. But unless the Lord withdraws the illusory energy, it's going to stay. So why doesn't He just withdraw it? Because we want it to stay. We're under the influence of Maya. The misuse of free will thing is still happening. We can't blame the circumstances or, you know, providence or something. It's our continued misuse of free will. So he agrees with her and says yes. But the remedy is this humility, you know, combined with faith in the process and the attainments available through the process. And of course, the deliverers of that process, which was what Prahlad was saying to Lord Nrisimhadeva. Narada's association, please. In the language of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, let me just stand by the side of Narada. That's what I want. Because in his association, the illusion is gone and reality is there. How have I come to this position? By the mercy of Narada. So there's faith because there's practical experience. But the practical experience is because there's qualification. But without the heart being open, how is one going to receive even that which is where there's qualification? I was once sitting in an Ayurvedic doctor's office in Bombay, and this particular Ayurvedic doctor that I've been seeing for a number of years, he has kind of like an elite fan club. From time to time, different VIP people come to his place, and, you know, anyway, he has a way with them. So one of the persons that came to his office one time was a man that had met Prabhupada. And it just really struck me. He was going on about, you know, Swamiji, you know, I could understand he was really special and he wasn't like everyone else, and he was going on and on like that. And I was thinking, why didn't he, you know, take the step? He had those understandings, but understanding wasn't enough. The light went on, but his heart didn't move. No loss, because so many years later, whatever that was, 30-something years later, he still, you know, has that feeling for, you know, Prabhupada was very special. No loss. Spiritually. You know, a loss in the sense that he didn't take further advantage, but the merciful nature of a merciful person, we'll be discussing this a little bit this evening, the relationship of daya, or compassion, and humility. They go well together. They're part and parcel of the same thing. You know, the spiritual position, that's the same thing. One who has this transcendental humility, while it may, you know, feel uncomfortable or stronger, may feel painful or stronger and may make one cry. It's a foundation for receiving. And that which is to be received is worth receiving unless one's heart is humble. How are you going to receive anything? I'm okay, you're okay. That's what will happen. I'm okay, you're okay. I forget which Mayavadi sannyasi said like that to Prabhupada, I'm okay, you're okay. And Prabhupada said, you are not okay and I'm okay. Something like that. Swamiji, how can you speak like that? So humility allows the heart to open. And when the heart is open, it can receive. And that which one can receive from the transcendental, so there's the beginning, as like this budget, cultivate. And there are these three areas
that are mentioned in the verse.
Go back to the verse again. Vacha, speech. Behavior. Ihaya. And thinking. So thinking is something that goes inside. People can't see your thinking. They can see perhaps your thinking reflected in your face. Like I shared just, it was, the way that Trivikram Maharaj told that story, just, it was just like really quick. If you know him, he goes real fast. But, you know, as he was narrating what Prabhupada felt, when he asked Prabhupada, what was your most difficult experience in devotional service? Just narrating it, Trivikram Maharaj's face also became, meditating on how Prabhupada's face became, his face became very grave. So even you're thinking something, the face is the index to the mind. So, but thinking, speech, and behavior. And the advice of this verse is one should cultivate these three in such a way that becomes fixed. And anything that stands in the way should be avoided. So we have this, you know, this teaching, devotional teaching, that says the process of surrender starts with these first two. Accept things favorable, reject things unfavorable for bhakti. This is, you know, the foundation for bhakti is humility. You know, it's a condition of heart. It's not just a behavior. It's not just, you know, put on tilak and a dhoti or sari and, you know, raise your arms and dance. Those are behaviors which are wonderful and they can help awaken bhakti, but bhakti is not just the behavior. And that a foundation for that is humility. And as stated, this detachment or actual disliking for materialistic life or life of sense gratification and fruitive activities that can accumulate some wealth, and then with wealth, then I can get some stuff, and then I can be happy, and I don't have confidence in that. Prabhupada said it this way. A devotee by nature is materially pessimistic and spiritually optimistic. Very simple. And that spiritual optimism, what I'm trying to get at here is, that spiritual optimism, having as a foundation humility, isn't I feel bad, or I ignore it, or try to hide it, or don't feel it. I can feel it. And it's an impetus, because now my heart is open for this descending mercy. Or this is Sanatana Goswami's way of describing same thing that Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar to Hope, Asha Bhanda. Where one, there's this expression of humility, I'm disqualified. I'm disqualified in so many ways. Let me tell you how many ways I'm disqualified. This way, that way, the other way. Disqualified. Okay. Now your heart's open. Good. You're feeling humble. Now, but there's one wonderful thing. What's that? Krishna is merciful. Don't forget. You're not alone. Bhakti is you're not alone. You're with Krishna. And you're with, and by your side is the representative of Krishna. And they're carrying Krishna's mercy. Those representatives of Krishna are carrying Krishna's mercy. So let me stay in close association with those merciful associates so that I can receive mercy. And having my heart open and receiving mercy, I'm not feeling empty. I'm feeling maybe not qualified for this mercy, but here comes the mercy. And this utter humility or profound humility is the gift that Lord Chaitanya wants to give, that profound humility of love and separation, the intensification of feelings of love through separation. But there's no feelings of separation unless there's attachment. And how do you get the attachment? You have to become, the heart has to become pure. How do you get the heart pure? You go back. Vishwanath Chakravarti, say the same thing in a different way. Two other ways. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Madhurya Kandambani, describes that the nine stages of bhakti start radha, but one way to analyze is just different categories of faith. Faith and faith and faith and faith and faith and faith. Then the mature stage is prema. And the beginning stage is shraddha. But just go by different stages of maturing. That's the seed. Similarly here, humility. You know, so humility doesn't just mean, you know, self-deprecation. The meaning is described here. It's a feeling, but it's not based on self-deprecation. It's, you know, my tininess. We're tiny. Welcome to reality. We're tiny. And we're in this sea of material energy. And the sea of material energy, by bad association, we're attracted to this being the enjoyer of the sea of material energy. That propensity is there. That's the prapikshatmaka shakti. I'm under that influence of maya, thinking, oh, there's some opportunity for enjoyment here. When we know better, yet we still continue. Dog obstinacy, Prabhupada would sometimes say. Just keep trying and keep trying. Keep trying and keep trying. Like Jarasandha, keep trying. Defeat Krishna. Keep trying. Keep trying. Birth after birth. Suffer like a dog and keep trying. That's this potency of Maya. But the potency of Maya, Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigonamikam, the living entity, although para, transcendental, due to affinity for matter, one takes on some other identity and tries to enjoy matter according to that covering. But the Maya can be withdrawn. We're dependent. And Krishna is kind. So if the heart opens in that state of humility, then bhakti begins. We can receive. And in the beginning, it's maybe little. But stay with it. And, you know, fantastic, in this very mature stage, Sanatana Goswami is telling us that the gopis are feeling great humility in that separation, viraha bhav. So what to speak of where we are? Where we are is not there. Where we are is feelings of humility, fantastic. Here's a little description from Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking. It's in, you know, the Sharanagati. He is describing these six elements of surrender and specific to dānya, humility. The bhakta must develop the sense of karpanya, or humility, which makes him feel poverty-stricken, meek, and lowly. This mode of humility is understood as karpanya or dānya. Continues. Thus, the state of consciousness that is evoked when the heart becomes infused with determination, subservience, trust, dependence, self-surrender, and humility is designated as Shraddha. There's the connection. Shraddha and Shraddha and Shraddha and Shraddha, and different stages of it, depending upon these stages of, you can say, for our discussion, humility. Whosoever attains this Shraddha becomes a fit candidate to execute bhakti and for the sadhaka. So even in the sadhana stage, this adau Shraddha, then we do sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya in practice. This Shraddha is the initial step towards the perfection displayed by eternally liberated pure jiva souls. Since Shraddha is the fundamental nuance of the jiva's nitya swabhava, so this is now, we just way up to the soul's swabhava, the soul's nature. You know, swabhava, that term swabhava commonly is used in Bhagavad Gita, for example. It's used in relation to our psychophysical nature, our embodiment. Brahma karma swabhava jam, kshatriya karma swabhava jam, etc. Vaishya karma swabhava jam. Here's the jiva's swabhava. And to get to that stage, what's our eternal nature? Nitya swabhava. We need humility. That's a price to pay, and you know, it may look like, oh, it hurts. But it doesn't hurt. It's liberating. Because, why? Because then the heart is open for descending mercy. It hurts when we forget Krishna, we forget the merciful Supreme Lord and the descending mercy that we can receive when our heart is open. We may not like to have our heart open. And then we suffer another way. We suffer the prapekshatmika shakti. Continue with dog obstinacy, trying to be the enjoyer. Then it's too much, and then we go to some knowledge, and then we feel better, and then we go back to the stubborn obstinacy program. Or this night. All other variations of dharma of the jiva are naimittika. This is a term that both Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta used, and it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. Krishna Das Kaviraj. It's translated as occasional. So, you know, we have a body and we have our varnashram dharma. We have our duties according to varna and ashram. And we do them because we have our nature. If we don't acknowledge what our nature is, how are we going to become purified? We'll do, as Krishna says, someone else's duty. Or whatever, and it's not what Krishna wants. That is to help us become purified enough so we can get to the soul's eternal nature. It's just a cascading of mercy that at every step, some position of humility and position specific to this morning's class, the topic. Narada is instructing, or we can say Sanatana Goswami is instructing, how to come, how to receive that gift that Lord Chaitanya wants to give us. It's available through the holy name, but we have to orient ourselves properly to the holy name. That means the heart has to be in proper regard for the holy name and, you know, the circumstances of life that come our way. That's to help us in our feelings of humility recognize, you know, that mountain of disqualification, of the absence of real feelings of devotion. And, you know, we just can't seem to access it, especially when we're sincerely trying. It's just like chanting attentively. We don't realize, I'll say, speak for myself, I don't realize how inattentive I am until I try to be attentive. And when you try to, really try to be attentive, how distracted. So then what do? You redouble your effort. And then you realize even more how distracted. So this, you can get, you know, you go into lamentation, or you can feel despondent, or one of those. But then there's this other option. Like Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, some of you attended the retreat or the seminar that we had in Gitanagari over Labor Day weekend. You know, the greatness of littleness. Remember that one, Rabindra's? The greatness of littleness. It's great feeling little. And our acharyas, our founder acharya, did that himself. I mean, and what to speak of our founder acharya, all of our great acharyas. It's just humiliating how humble they were. Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami and all of them. How humble. How humble. It's not depressing, it's enlivening. It's setting the standard of the heart that's open receiving, feeling I'm not qualified. Krishna Das Kaviraj, lower than the worm and stool. And it's not just platitude, it's feeling like that. Yet at the same time doing wonderful service. Seems like, you know, a disconnect. Doing wonderful and qualified. Miserably unqualified. It's not feeling miserable. Feeling, I need mercy. And receiving mercy, and with that mercy, the credit goes to the mercy givers. And being happy in that relationship of being a recipient of mercy. I mean, exactly as Prahlad did. We discussed yesterday. Being pushed forward to offer prayers. I have no qualification. I have disqualification. I'm abundantly disqualified. But I've been given the service, like we've all have some service. I was thinking to share this with you. I was this morning meditating on this verse. Imagine any one of you, or each one of you, if you had the designation of being the ultimate managing authority for ISKCON. And realizing you don't have the qualification. But the service has to be done. So how are you going to feel? Yay, I'm the ultimate managing authority. Although I'm disqualified, yay. You're not going to feel like that. You're going to feel very humble. If one is feeling otherwise, that's a disqualification. The one who's feeling humility, it's at least the beginning of a qualification. And, you know, anything else. We all have some service. Uttama Shloka is here, a candidate for sannyas. So people are, oh, you're a candidate for sannyas. I'm a candidate for sannyas. One who is thinking like that is a disqualification. Or, you know, Nityananda Pran, temple president, you know, oh yeah, I'm qualified. Just see how much people are appreciating me. Or somebody who's the, whatever it is, you know, the pujari, oh, you dress the deity so nice. Just like Sri Vrindavan was saying, where is she? She's here. Yeah, yesterday, people saying, oh, you did such a nice job. You've increased book distribution here in Alachua so much. And you, whatever it is, people say, oh, you're good. How do we, and it's part of our culture, you know, that we respect devotees. So you're in this culture where you respect devotees and you're supposed to be humble. You know, what do? You don't run the other way. That's impersonal. How do you stay humble? You can just go on the internet and say bad things about people and hear people say bad things about you. That's one option. But, you know, the heart has to become pure. And entry level is this humility. It's the spiritual conception that what is my qualification? Well, I'm tiny. I'm Krishna's part and parcel, and he's most merciful. And my dear devotees, whatever level of humility you have, please understand there's more waiting for you. And there's more waiting after that, and there's more waiting after that. What we're hearing in this little section is, you know, the gopis, where they're honored by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis and the you know, all of us, most exalted, and they're feeling most humble. Most profound, utter humility. So keep going with your humility. Don't be discouraged by it. It's a platform, it's an essential platform for receiving descending mercy. No shortage other than the shortage of Krishna consciousness. That's Bhaktisiddhanta's statement. There's no shortage in this world except the shortage of Krishna consciousness. And one who has Krishna consciousness means we can know there's humility inside. And our great acharyas, Sanatana Goswami delivering this message, Narada delivering the message, Gopakumar, the recipient of the mercy of the mantra that he's been given, he realizes the fullness of it because of that humility. And the eagerness at the same time, humility and eagerness to attain shelter and mercy, service. In that humble mood. So any comments or questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Arash. Thank you for a wonderful enlightening class and comical also. you pretty much answer all my questions, but maybe
great.
You can expand on them. Because they're usually when I like... When the Swamis come here and Maharajas like you, you give usually contemporary examples to kind of illustrate certain points. So I appreciate it. And a couple of examples I want to give is that I appreciate one of my brother's answers, how we could be grateful for and humble with everyone. But before I get to that, there was a similar incident that happened like a couple of months ago.
Okay.
So it was with me, Bhakta Jordan, and Himanshu. So we went on Harvinam at Northwestern, and it was the day that actually Obama came to Northwestern. We saw
he came to Northwestern.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that either. So we were trying to get past the streets. We were like, "What's going on?" It was like Obama's coming. I was like, "We didn't know." So we did Harvinam, and we saw his motorcade go back and forth.
Okay,
but at the end of the day, Himanshu and I we were kind of bickering like children. His maha mantra is with devotees, we always like to joke with each other. So he always tells us kind of, you know, softly, you know, don't commit any offenses. That's like his maha mantra. And so anyways, when me and Himanshu were bickering, you know, it was Kali Yuga, it was over. But then the next day, it was funny. Jordan made a comment in class the next morning, in Bhagavatam class. And this was just an incident I brought up to Jordan yesterday. He made a comment. He was like, maybe I should, I realized that I should... humble my, lower my standards with devotees because everyone makes mistakes. So then me and Himanshu, a couple months ago, we were thinking he was talking about us the previous day. And so last night I just told Jordan, I brought this incident up. Now, I told him I was thinking of telling him that I would have told him we shouldn't worry about, you know, other devotee standards. We should worry about our own standards. But then I know that was, you know, I've made mistakes like that in the past, but I never told him that because I know it was Maya instructing me. So I never told him that. So that was one point I appreciated. And another point with my brother, Himanshu once asked my brother, he told me, how can I stop finding faults with devotees?
I've heard that question before.
And so my brother gave a very nice answer. It's kind of related to Vyasa Puja, actually. He said, suppose, we may not have a problem now, but he said, suppose if we were to get up, you know, in public and announce all the sinful activities we did in the past, you know, that way we could be humble with and grateful for everyone. And so then Himanshu was like, ouch. So I appreciated that answer. So
that's a nice answer. Someone else? Yeah, right behind you.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. It was really deep topic. Especially I appreciated the point you made, commenting, you know, referring to Prabhupada's comment that devotee is pessimistic about material life and optimistic about spiritual life. Mm. And also it's explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is a realist. And so, you know, help me to understand what realist means. Mm. So pessimistic about material and optimistic about spiritual makes one realistic. So thank you, Maharaj, for that connect in my mind. And the question I wanted to ask is what you referred to, how it is possible that the most exalted devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, and all our acharyas, they speak about themselves in such a derogatory way, even though they are really so exalted. And normally, I know by experience, when I come in the association of very exalted personalities, naturally I feel myself unqualified. And so I was wondering, is that the case with all these exalted personalities, that they compare themselves with, you know, the residents of the spiritual world or something? Is this the reason? What would be the real reason why they feel so humble?
My understanding is it's not comparison. It's just a feeling. Say it the other way. Comparison. My understanding of comparison is it's material. This to that. When devotees compare themselves with other devotees, it's material. It's like, you know, it's what we learned in our upbringing of, you know, competing and comparing. I'm better, they're better, feeling, you know, I'm better, feeling envious of another one that's better. And like the first part of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the quest of Narada is who is the greatest recipient. So each one that's approached by Narada does the same thing. They deprecate themselves and say, here's one better. And then go to the next person. Oh, just as the previous person said, you're the greatest recipient. No. Let me tell you the ways in which I'm not qualified. But one who's really qualified is. So it's, and then, so the nature of the heart is not that, you know, comparison myself to another. It's just a condition of heart. And, at the end, when, you know, in his commentary, Sanatana Goswami says, actually, they're all most exalted or dearest. But then we have this, you know, transcendental, perfect, more perfect, most perfect, and transcendentally we say the gopis are The residents of Vrindavan are most perfect, and amongst them the gopis are most perfect, but they're all perfect. So it's more a feeling of heart than it is comparison. I mean, one of the passages I really like in Chaitanya Charitamrita is when Rupa Goswami is asked by Lord Chaitanya to recite his dramas, and the interviewer is Ramananda Roy, the expert in drama. And Rupa Goswami doesn't even want to sit with everybody. I'm not qualified. His humility, not just in comparison, but his humility. They wouldn't go in the temple. You know, they're just humble. I mean, like, embarrassingly humble. It's just their condition of heart. And it goes along with, it's part of the territory of being qualified. They're the receivers because their hearts are open. It's not a common thing, it's a... And it's certainly when looking at others, I'm not qualified. I can't be in the presence of this exalted person. We experience those things in a minor way. They experience things in a transcendental way. Like I'm sure you have heard, or the devotees here in the audience have heard, the glorifications of Prabhupada, memories of Prabhupada, and maybe, 7 out of 10, the person say, you know, when I came before Prabhupada, I felt he could see right through me. He knew all of my contamination, and I felt completely, it's the power of the presence of such a person makes one feel that, not just comparing to the person. So let us stay in close association of our founder Acharya and those who are nicely representing him, and that quality of humility will stay with us, not just by comparison. It'll be the quality. Yes, Simal.
Guru Maharaj, I was thinking about some of the same, you touched some of these points in the answer that you just gave now, but I'm thinking on the example of this gentleman who was in the office of Dr. Narayan, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That although he was expressing humility, or he was, there was certain humility.
He was expressing appreciation of a great personality.
Mm.
What did he do with that was something else.
So it was not humility necessarily, although I'm assuming just...
Certainly, some humility, but it didn't exactly... It stayed with him to the extent that here he was so many years later remembering, but not deep enough that he did something about it.
Hmm. And I'm thinking in the situation that certain expression of appreciation and humility that doesn't move the heart, that doesn't allow the heart to open.
Mm.
And then how that applies in our, upside down in devotional service, in expressions of devotion, that sometimes we feel humility and appreciation. And it's easy when you have, someone who is, say an authority, a spiritual master like that. But then it becomes more challenging when we're dealing, with peer devotees or with, and then when is that situation that humility doesn't go that deep? That not necessarily, that the heart not necessarily is fully open. I don't know if it's clear. I'm trying to apply the situation in which, the heart may be closed.
Yeah. That's a standard program. The heart's closed.
Yeah.
Is your question what can make the heart open, or is your question why does the heart stay closed?
Well, yes, but the also...
I gave you two options, you're saying yes.
Well, I'm saying yes, the that the question of the heart, you know, in with humility, because we do have certain humility naturally by being, you know, in the process of Krishna consciousness, the certain understanding. I'm a spirit soul. I'm a part of Krishna. I'm very tiny. I'm disqualified. All that. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes, you know, we have false egos.
Not sometimes.
Yeah. It's open all the time.
Like. Okay, so your question specifically, I can say anything, but what's your question specifically? You're not sure.
Yes, I'm trying to make it out. But, we're in the situation, our situation, how it really applies to us, you know, or what do we do when in those situations of finding our heart is closing that, in the relationship with the
devotee? This is Himangi's question from yesterday. Where is Himangi? This is the same question, isn't it? Were you here last night? Listen to the recording. But I'll summarize. Stay in the association of, you know, qualified devotees, sincere, on the path to Krishna devotees. Stay in that association and the heart can open. It doesn't guarantee it, but you know, it's more likely to happen than otherwise. You've heard me say probably multiple times. This is, you know, it's not a Puranic thing, it's an observation. Many people join the Hare Krishna movement with their mind. And therefore, there's unsteadiness. So, we have to go beyond the mind because the mind is chanchala. That's the sine curve. And sometimes, and sometimes, and sometimes, and sometimes. So, how do we open the heart? Well, we discussed last night gratitude. Her question was, when the heart becomes closed and that sense of gratitude seems to be gone, what do you do? The other question she asked was, when you're extending care to someone, you see that their heart has closed, what do you do? I mean, so, what do we do when we're heading? It's a great opportunity in one sense. You know, you call out and take association. And call out again and, you know, take shelter of those things that you know touch your heart. Like, you know, whatever it is. For you, maybe it's kirtan, and somebody else it's reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Somebody else it's deep prayer. Someone else it's something or something. But, you know, in the company of devotees, in the company of like-minded persons. And someone may say, well, you know, I don't have any friends, I don't have any like-minded persons. You know, that's the, you know, the Maya taking that stick apart from the bundle and more easily broken. That sense of disconnectedness is how, it's one of Maya's tricks. So, you know, don't say yes to that. Say no to that and move to the association of those that you know that have that sense of gratitude, that sense of faith, that sense of hope. And, you know, devotees will do that. And if devotees don't do that, they get broken. And it's very painful. Or even like, you know, bent. And it's hard to take the bent back in shape, but that's what to do. Yes. Over here. Raise your hand again so he can bring the microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I always thought, Maharaj, humility is something developing us naturally with chanting and devotional service. In other words, like humility is a
byproduct. Not necessarily. I know some people. Do you know some people like that? So it's not a vending machine. It's not automatically. Lord Chaitanya indicates one should cultivate that. And this verse is saying also, but yet, one should cultivate that. And through different means. Your speech, your behavior, your internal contemplations. Along with chanting. What do you think?
But when you do chanting, like maybe the humility is like, I was always thinking it is because of our, most of our material desires. So along with the chanting, doing devotional service, it should take away some of our desires, and along with that, we the holy name
isn't a janitor. I'm being, you know, like blunt. The potency is there, Cetha Darpana Marjanam. But we, you know, we're servants, not he's the servant. We're servants. And if we so desire, you know, like Prahlad yesterday evening, Prahlad was, you want me to take something? Here's the something. Please take away all my desires, other than you, your service. And then when that starts to happen, generally people go, yikes, ouch. Not that one, that's my favorite one. Okay. It's a relationship. We're the servant, he's the master. Last question over here. It's now 9 o'clock.
So my question is, like sometimes, you know, there's a conflict in my mind. So I like the bhakti marga, but the conflict has been that, am I spending too much time following the bhakti marga, or is the karma marga more important, where I can work towards upliftment of, you know, the poor people or making a difference to the society? So it's been like bothering me for quite some time.
It's a matter of faith. The question you're asking, the answer to it, it's a matter of faith.
Okay.
And one should not act artificially beyond one's capacity of faith. So in other words, my position may be here, like you're describing. Someone else's position may be here. The ultimate attainment is way up there. I can't pretend to be way up there and just, like, you know, march along like I'm way up there. I'm here. But when I'm here, let me know that I should know. That's the goal. So let me work here in such a way I can get to the next stage, so that my faith grow naturally.
So what can I do to harmonize, like, between the karma, you know, what I really want to do for the betterment of society, and also my, you know, follow the bhakti marg in the
well, sense. Try to connect one with the other. That is to say, you know, people, there are these billboards, people are hungry. So, you know, involve yourself with prasadam distribution. And when there's prasadam distribution, side by side with that, kirtan. And at least the opportunity for people to hear the message of Krishna or receive some simple information, brochure or a little booklet or something. And connect the two. Dovetail, Bhaktisiddhanta's term. Connect this with that and then make it strong. So then, you know, bhakti is connecting with the material. It's not shuddha bhakti, but it's going to elevate this other one in a natural way, not in a, you know, an abrupt and non-sustainable way. And if you're not clear how to do that, then consult with those that are experienced devotees, and they can help guide you how to do that. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.